Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live Memphis music. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want, and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and autopay. Offer ends 9/29/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis and America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Boom, 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 boom. Do what you do. Boom,
broadcasting
boom, boom,
live
boom,
from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White and Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
We have all kinds of things to talk to Chris about, including two pieces that are you must read at the Daily Memphian. But first, the U.S. went down to defeat Chris to France. Were you watching any of this action?
I saw the last few minutes. It got off to a little bit of an early start for me, but I saw the last few minutes. Rudy Gobert with the big block and just sort of the game slipping away. Obviously, it's an upset, but I don't think it's a shocker. As everyone sort of knew, this was maybe the least talented U.S. team in memory, maybe ever. And France is good. I mean, Rudy Gobert's multiple-time defensive player of the year, and they have probably five or six other players who have been, are, or could be in the NBA on that team. So,
did I forget to ask you what we were listening to?
You did. That was the ABCs of Love by Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Yes.
For the day when I went through the ABCs of the Grizzlies.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. My mind was elsewhere. So, I'm with you. Not a huge upset. It was an upset, but not a huge surprise. Okay, the two things that you have up at the Daily Memphian. First, you were, as you reported yesterday, you were at the premiere of Bluff City Law last night. Before we get to the actual production, what you witnessed on the big screen, what did you witness in terms of the event itself? This was. Have you done red carpet things before?
I don't think so, at least not anything I perceived as that, maybe for some like local movies or whatever. And so, no, nothing that I thought of in those terms. And so it was not, you know, my idea of a red carpet. I guess people think of the Oscars telecast. That's an old movie buff. I think of, like, Singing in the Rain and the Judy Garland, A Star is Born, and sort of those, like, you know, Starlight gets out of the limo and strolls up the carpet towards the big theater and the paparazzi and the whatever. And it was not that. It was 90 degrees at 8 p.m. or whatever in Memphis, Tennessee. And so they had a little red carpet in the back of a banquet room at the Halloran Center. And they walked everybody out, and there was, you know, it was like, you know, if you're at some kind of Grizzlies media day thing where there's a bank of TV cameras you're trying to get around. And so everyone, all the actors in the main cast and one producer walked up and down the little carpet and got their photos taken and did some little quickie interviews. And so that was about it as far as a quote-unquote red carpet. But then they did a screening of the pilot with Mayor Strickland and Mayor Harris both there proclaiming it Bluff City Law Day. And there was a Q&A panel afterwards I didn't get to see much of because I had to go back and write. And so I missed some of that.
Who was invited to this thing? Like, who was in the audience?
Apparently, it was made available to the public in some way at some point, the way they do, like, you know, movie advanced screenings. This was the only red carpet premiere, but the pilot of Bluff City Law actually screened last night in 12 different cities as a preview screening. All over the country. And so this was one of those. And there was some mechanism by which you could acquire tickets, but I don't know what that was. But it was not all, quote-unquote, VIPs and cast and press and all that. I think there were some civilians in the mix.
All right. And what did they show you one episode?
Yeah, just one. I wonder what they were going to do, but it was just one. It was just the pilot, which will broadcast on September 23rd, 9 p.m., NBC, local time. And I have to say, even though I sounded a little bit of an alarm when we talked a couple weeks ago, I'm feeling a lot better about the show than I was before. I thought it was good. I think you have to – next week I'm going to write something else that's less hastily written, that's not written on deadline late at night. And so I'll get into more then. But I have to say, I mean, you have to acknowledge that it is a network TV drama.
Right.
Like, it's not The Sopranos and The Wire, right? And so broadcast network television has to be generally a little softer, a little broader. It's just going to be that way because you're trying to appeal to this mass audience and you have the restrictions of what you can broadcast, you know, on TV. So it's not, you know, Breaking Bad or whatever. It's more, you know, This Is Us and The Good Wife and that kind of show. But I thought it was good. I mean, relative to what it was, and the audience seemed to eat it up. That's one of the things I noted when I wrote. And maybe people in the room were primed to want to enjoy it. That happens sometimes with screenings, which, you know, you notice if you go to a lot of film screenings, which I used to. But people were reacting much more strongly to just the beats of the show, the dramatic and comedic, like, you know, workings of the show than they were to, ooh, there's Memphis on the screen. I mean, people seem to really be into it. And I thought it was really effective for what it was. So I'm much more hopeful now than I was a couple weeks ago.
I don't know what you watch on TV. Would you, if this were Austin City Law, would you watch it?
Probably not, but I don't watch week-to-week TV, really.
Right.
I mean, I tend to watch one show at a time, and, like, I watch all of it, and then I'll move on to something else. And a lot of the times it will be, you know, something that's on Netflix or Amazon or one of those kind of things. So, like, my wife and I are watching Mindhunter right now, and we'll finish that, and, like, maybe I'll watch something else. But I, you know, the week-to-week broadcast television show was something I actually grew up with, right? I grew up watching, you know, L.A. Law and Cheers and, like, you know, whatever. And then even later on, you know, X-Files and The West Wing and those kind of shows. But I don't really watch anything like that anymore, no.
What are your favorite all-time?
My favorite all-time television shows, The Wire is sort of obvious, and deserves to be obvious. This is an area where I have my picks are a little bit more personal than quote-unquote objective.
Right.
I love WKRP in Cincinnati. The West Wing is a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Andy Griffith Show because I sort of grew up with that.
Right.
Watching repeats of it. I'm not that old, but watching repeats of it. Of the last few years, there's two television shows that I think are brilliant, like as good as any culture I've consumed in the last decade,
mm-hmm.
and that's Atlanta and Fleabag.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
What's Atlanta?
What's Atlanta? That's
This is how out of it I am. Go ahead. Yes.
What's it's not really a sitcom, but it's a half-hour show. It's had two seasons. I think it's on FX. It's on some TV network. It's created by Donald Glover, who is an actor and also a rapper.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's about the life of young people in Atlanta today. And it's really brilliant and really risky and sort of the chances it takes. And really, it's unlike anything else I've ever seen on television. And I think it's totally brilliant. The first season, even more so.
Atlanta and Fleabag. I've heard of Fleabag, but okay. Anyway, so, all right, enough of that. How did Memphis look?
Memphis looks great. I'll be interested to see how much further it goes as we get more episodes. You do get sort of what you expect to get, right? You get lots of the river and that, and you get, not to denigrate, all for Bill Street, Bully for Bill Street, but you get like the high-powered lawyers after work, get together for beers on Bill Street. I'm not sure how often that really happens, right?
I don't think that happens in real life, right? Yes.
But the Rumblegee Cafe was, and then you did have a business lunch meeting at the Four Way Grill, which I think A is something I haven't seen in TV and movies before,
yeah.
And B is something that would happen. Like I've had business lunches at the Four Way Grill. So that was cool. I think Memphis looked great. But I'll be interested to see how broader it gets in terms of how it depicts the city
beyond
the Civil Rights Museum and Bill Street and the river and that kind of stuff.
You said in the piece that they picked Memphis before they'd even visited Memphis, which is interesting.
I got a chance. It was hard to talk to like the actors because of all the there's so much
right.
Scrums around them, and honestly, I'm not that interested in the actors. I was more interested in talking to the behind-the-scenes people, so I talked to one of the executive producers. I pulled him aside and got to talk to him for a little while, and there's some more stuff I didn't use that I'll use in what I write next week, probably, but that was one of the things I was interested in. It's sort of at what point, because my assumption is you decide, let's do a legal show, and it does initially have, like, a place, and he said that they had decided... I mean, this could have changed if they didn't get any financial incentives, I'm sure. But they decided before they'd even written a script or pitched it to network that Memphis was sort of where they wanted to be, because they wanted some place that you hadn't seen on TV shows before. They didn't want another Chicago show or another New York show, and they wanted the theme to be sort of civil rights, social justice, like current issues kind of thing. And so the Memphis's history and connection to sort of the civil rights movement, they thought sort of fit with that well. And he said sort of they decided on Memphis not only before they wrote it or they pitched it, before they even came to Memphis. They just liked the idea of Memphis, and they sort of had decided, okay, that's what we'll think we'll do before they even personally came to town.
Interesting. But okay, I'm glad you were heartened by it, because you and I both, the trailer didn't necessarily stir us, and so I'm glad you liked the first one, and we will hope for the best. All right, the other issue of the day is you have your Grizzlies glossary up at the Daily Memphian. I urge everyone to read it. It is the definitive glossary of all things Memphis Grizzly. How did this come to pass?
Well, this is a greatly expanded and revised version of something I did several years ago when I was with the Memphis Flyer, and I got permission from Bruce Van Weingarten and Ken Neal there to reuse some elements from that original piece, which I do link to in this one. So I appreciate that. I originally did it on the eve of the Grizzlies hosting their first Western Conference Finals game, and it was intended almost for a non-Memphis audience. It was, here's your introduction to Grizzlies culture now that the rest of the world is paying attention. And so when I decided to bring it back, and I actually meant to do this last summer, I just sort of ran out of time and set it aside. I'm sort of glad I did. I think it makes more sense now, because now we're sort of embarking on a new era.
Right.
And so you have this sense of, where you had this multiple ups and downs, and now a third sort of turning of the wheel in Memphis. And I think it's a good time to look back over the whole history of the franchise in Memphis. And so I'd had this idea to bring it back a year ago and just never quite got it together. Finally did it this time. But, I've always been someone who enjoys sort of the culture, the fan culture, civic culture of the whole thing as much, if not more, than just the X's and O's, what's going on the floor. And so to me, that's one of the funnest things to write about anyway, and always has. And so, you know, I had a great time doing this. And I do, my subtitle is The Living Lexicon, and I do intend for it to be that way. Like, I don't intend for this piece to be, you know, tomorrow's digital fish wrap, right? I think it's a thing where maybe every summer I'll, like, you know, update it and ask for feedback and maybe have a poll and, you know, and just for it to sort of not only document the past, but document the present and over time document the future.
It's hard to know how exactly to digest this for a radio audience, and so I would suggest that people go read it for themselves. The first entry, though, for example, is at AA000G9, which is Tony Allen's Twitter handle.
If I were telling a story, that wouldn't be the first entry, but this is a glossary. It's individual chunks alphabetized, and so that's the first entry.
Right, and then we go to All Heart Grid Grind and the history behind it. Then we go to Alley Oops, which was interesting to me. I wouldn't have thought of this as an entry. You think there are three big alley oops in Grizz history? What are they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if alley oop is like a word, but I just wanted a way to get into some of that. And so, to me, there's three that I think they're interesting because none of them include what we think of as like the starry of stars in the Grizzlies constellation, right? None of the core four guys, no Pal and Shane, none of that. And so one was Bonzi Wells tossed it high to Stromile Swift at the pyramid as part of a blowout over the Nets. And there are links to the video in all three of these. The other is Darrell Arthur catching an 08 O.J. Mayo oop as part of a rout against the Spurs in the 2011 playoffs. And the other wasn't even a dunk. It was Vince Carter's inbounds alley oop, which Courtney Lee caught and finished as a reverse layup to complete that big comeback against Sacramento a few years ago.
Continuing on. Big Spain, you say the nickname by acclamation for Marc Gasol, whose bigness waned somewhat as he replaced double-fisted Big Macs for homegrown produce. Do we know where Big Spain, like a lot of these, we sort of know where they came from. Where did Big Spain come from?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. Like some of them, like Instant Grits, which I sort of barely remembered, was a nickname apparently Mike Miller gave to Juan Carlos Navarro.
Uh-huh.
Bongo Lady is a nickname that came from me. I'll take credit for it. I coined Bongo Lady.
Uh-huh.
Big Spain, I don't know what the origin of Big Spain was. Like, was it Mike Conley, maybe? I don't think it came out of the media. And so I almost feel like that's something that came from closer to home, or closer to the team than from the outside.
Okay,
but I don't know for certain.
Lance Stevenson named himself Born Ready, so that's in the B's. Ryan Hollins did not name himself Booty Call. Where did that one come from?
Tony Allen apparently was calling Ryan Hollins Booty Call behind the scenes, and then it went public, and Ryan Hollins was not happy about that. But I'm sorry, Ryan Hollins is part of the lexicon.
It is in the lexicon.
And that was a season where the Grizzlies signed Ryan Hollins five different times throughout the season, waving him four times, obviously. And Tony Allen dubbed him Booty Call because he was always there when the Grizzlies needed him. Whenever they just needed a big man, they just called up Ryan Hollins.
Chan Kuhn is in there, of course, as his first team. Now, you have some opponents, which is interesting to me. You chose to put some just opponents in here.
Everything's a judgment call. I mean, this is a glossary, not a biographical dictionary, right? And so I did not have any Grizzlies players, just the players as entries, with one exception. The exception that proves the rule was Allen Iverson, because to me he's a figment of culture almost entirely instead of
right.
a figment of actual basketball with the Grizzlies. And so I didn't do Grizzlies players as entries. I did some of their nicknames, like Strosho or whatever. But there are a few players who loom so large in sort of the culture of the team that I decided to put them in there for those reasons.
And who would they be?
I had Blake Griffin in there as Zach Randolph's foil. I had Tony Parker in there for slicing and dicing the Grizzlies but failing to get a table at Restaurant Iris. And I think the only other one, unless I'm forgetting someone, I had Kevin Garnett. Maybe that's a little bit of a personal thing. But to me, it's interesting that Kevin Garnett is, other than Marc Gasol, Kevin Garnett's the player that unites Pau Gasol and Jaren Jackson Jr. Pau Gasol's sort of welcome to the NBA moment was dunking on Kevin Garnett. In some ways, Jaren Jackson's sort of welcome to the NBA moment was being taken under Kevin Garnett's wing as a mentor. So I think it's interesting that Garnett is the linkage between the first and latest great Grizzlies big men.
Grizz Killers is a separate category. Who do you have amongst your Grizz Killers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a phrase fans have been using for years at this point, and people have different ideas of who a Grizz killer is. To me, C.J. McCollum is like captain of the current Grizz killers. It seems like he drops, and I don't mean that literally in terms of breaking Mike Conley's face, but it seems
also
like he
that,
drops 30,
but yes. yes
he seems
ahead.
Like he drops 30-something every time he plays. And one that I don't know if a lot of people remember this way, but at the time, I remember Eric Dampier used to bully Pau Gasol so horribly that was like a memorable one. I think different people have their own sort of definitions or ideas of or players they think of when they think of that term.
It's funny, when you mentioned Eric Dampier, I immediately thought of Reggie Evans. Wasn't he something of a Grizz killer with the Clippers? Was he with the Clippers? Like, he would just go off or bully. I guess that was it.
Well, I don't know about that. It brings up a player I almost put in here as entry. Maybe I should have, and maybe they could have been in the Grizz killer, but it was only one game. Nick Young, man.
Right.
That was the
that
Clipper
was
I remember.
Yeah.
He had the 3 3-pointers in the fourth quarter of that collapse.
We have milked that horse, and we have Natch the Bear, and we have Only in the Movies and in Memphis, of course, Don Poyer's instantly iconic call, which was, by the way, a preseason game.
Jason Williams hitting a game winner in a preseason game.
It was a preseason game. Tony Parker made it as a opponent.
Yeah, I mentioned that a minute ago.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Right.
Pursuit Team is in there. Ring It Up, Put Three on the Board is in there, as well as Hammer, Nail, Coffin. Which of those is older? Do we know? Ring It Up, Put Three on the Board, or Hammer, Nail?
I don't know which is older. I mean, Eric Hasenstein has been with the franchise longer, at least by a little bit, but I don't know if that phrase preceded.
Yeah. Anyway, I urge people to read it. If you have any particular favorites in here, turn the water. So many of these are Tony Allen. Like, Tony Allen should get royalties
Tony
on this
Allen
man.
Tony Allen looms so large. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to think about favorites. I'm going to do a podcast today. I won't say who the guest is in case we have a problem, but I'm doing a podcast today that's related to this that I think will be good and interesting to people. And like I said earlier, this is a living document, so I'm accepting nominations for additional entries if anyone has any.
You Ain't Gonna Write Nothing, Homeboy is in there if people are concerned that it didn't make it. The last entry, there's Z-Bound under Z's and Zombie Gorillas. What are Zombie Gorillas? Grizzlies,
zombie grizzlies.
Yeah, what are Zombie Grizzlies?
That's the team where everyone got hurt and they played 28 players, including Bragante Weber, Alex Stevenson, Ray McCollum, Jordan Farmar, Bryce Cotton. Those were your Zombie Grizzlies.
Those were your
The Walking Dead.
Those were your zombie Grizzlies. People can read it and catch it over at the Daily Memphian podcast coming up later on today. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
You may have noticed that segment is now brought to you by Thomas White and Gill. Thomas White and Gill is a law firm that handles a lot of the big stuff, handles divorce, handles custody, handles those sorts of matters. And as someone who has been through it myself, I know that you want attorneys who don't just want to honestly crank up the bills. Like, that's what happened. You want to fight. And you want to crank up the bills and you want to get the motor running and you all of a sudden you get a result and a bill that you're not necessarily that you didn't want. And they are absolutely going to stand up for you and fight for everything you deserve. But they also understand that slash and burn lawyering is not necessarily going to get you the best result. Justin Thomas, former DH for the University of Memphis, first baseman for the University of Memphis, understands all of this. They have male and female partners. They have experts in divorce, custody, surrogacy, wills, and estates. They have all kinds of billing rates, so they can do whatever fits you best. The way you get in touch with Justin Thomas and the folks from Thomas White and Gill is Memphis Family Law. MemphisFamilyLaw.com. Go to MemphisFamilyLaw.com and because this is a hard time and you need good guidance as you go through it. When we come back, TAMS rankings from Jeffrey Wright. We'll do that next. Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com.
Look around. There's a rhythm in Memphis like no time before. Today,
20,000 more people are working. There's $19 billion in development. Companies that once moved away are moving back into the core city. And under the leadership of Mayor Strickland, we are doing more for our youth than ever before. Jim Strickland's increased summer youth jobs by 90%, made summer and spring break camps free, increased youth attendance in library programs by 98%, and brought back staff summer play in our city parks. And next year, for the first time ever, every child will have the opportunity to attend high-quality pre-K. Hear that? That's the sound of a city with momentum. Jim Strickland, leadership matters.
Paid for by friends of Jim Strickland, Paula Casey Treasure.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the host your event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Foodies and wine connoisseurs, don't miss the third Memphis Food and Wine Festival Saturday, October 12th at the Memphis Botanic Gardens. Amazing local and national chefs and incredible wineries tastefully line the grounds of the live garden while live Memphis music rocks the stage. The 2019 Memphis Food and Wine Festival, October 12th, presented by FedEx and benefiting FedEx Family House. Get your tickets right now through Ticketmaster. Visit memphisfoodandwinefestival.org.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Staples is more than a place you go to make copies.
It's where a conversation with an associate sparked the idea for my business card to double as a coupon. And it's where I go to reach potential customers with custom postcards.
Staples can help make your big ideas bigger ideas. And right now, when you make a select print and marketing services purchase, you receive 20% off your next order. Staples, for your business printing and beyond. In-store only, ends 11/9/19. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/print20 for details.
Every year, millions of Americans use opioids to manage pain. Pain can be unrelenting, overwhelming, and all-consuming. So why do so many of us try to manage pain only from the palm of our hands? Doctor-prescribed opioids are appropriate in some cases, but they just mask the pain. And reliance on opioids has led to the worst drug crisis in American history. That's why the CDC recommends safer alternatives, like physical therapy, to manage pain. Physical therapists treat pain through movement, hands-on care, and patient education. No warning labels required. And by increasing physical activity, you can also reduce your risk of other chronic diseases. Pain is personal, but treating pain takes teamwork. When it comes to your health, you have a choice. Choose more movement and better health. Choose physical therapy. Visit moveforwardpt.com to find a physical therapist in your area. This message is brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Social Security case, dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Get in and win the 92.9 ATC Fitness College Football Pickoff. Log on to 92.9ESPN.com. Make your college football picks. Make your picks before kickoff. Collect points and you could win. Weekly winners get a four-month free premium membership to ATC Fitness. And one grand prize winner gets a $500 gift card to Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool. $500 in gift cards to Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. And a master-built digital smoker from 92.9ESPN.com. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
To the bright side of the road.
Lee and Lauren Cooper run a different kind of computer store. They're there. That's where it starts. They're there. You walk in, chances are Lee and Lauren Cooper will be there to greet you. Whether you want to buy a new computer, they'll show you in their showroom. Whether you want to get an Apple, Dell, Lenovo, Hewlett-Packard, whatever it is, Hewlett-Packard, they'll show you what they got, and you'll pay less than you would at a big box store. Or if you want to get your computer fixed, same thing. They'll take your computer. They won't have to send it off because their crack technicians are right there on site. They'll call you when it's done. Come by, set you up. If you have any questions after you take back, call, and guess who will answer the phone? Lee and Lauren Cooper. Totally different kind of an experience. It's not some 19-year-old with a name tag who's working, you know, summer job or something like that. Who won't be there the next time you come back. Look at you blankly. No, it's Lee and Lauren Cooper. It's always been Lee and Lauren Cooper. The phone number is 360-9679. You can find him in the Mount Moriah office park. It is that time again. Time to do our TAMS rankings. I turn the show over to Jeffrey, who is our TAMS ranking expert. He goes into all the logarithms, all the data, to determine which of the football teams from the Arkansas, Tennessee, Memphis area rank as the best and the worst. As is typical, we start from the bottom. Jeffrey.
Jeff, we start from the bottom again. As we mentioned, the Tennessee-Arkansas-Mississippi area.
Oh, gosh, you're including Liberty again.
Yet again, he was all over Memphis radio last week, so apparently Liberty's football coach considers him a part of the TAMS rankings.
He's including Liberty again. The good news is it gets Arkansas State off the bottom.
More on that in a minute.
More on that in a minute.
Just want to quickly point out what this offensive mastermind has put together. Keep in mind, Liberty was 34th in the nation in scoring last year, averaging nearly 34 points per game. Jeff, they are currently tied for 128 in scoring offense at 7 points per game. That is, there's only one team in the country worse than them. That is South Florida. In offensive efficiency, they are 125th. They are 125th in third down conversions and all total conversions and 107th in total offense. Just thought I should throw that out there for those
Listen,
that think
he
this
was
person
coaching from a he's a profile a in courage. He was
it
coaching
is.
From a dentist chair.
I'm just sad we didn't get we got a lot of snapshots of the chair itself. I didn't see any video whatsoever of him from the booth in the chair, so that was tough.
Liberty comes in last. Next.
He's 0-2 against the spread, by the way.
It is not Arkansas State.
It is not Arkansas State.
Holy smokes. Oh, no.
Jeff, I do not. Listen, Chad Morris has come on the shows, and
We're grateful for that.
Grateful for that. Quietly rooting for him. I'd like to see him have success. I told you this at the start of the season, and it was readily apparent when we saw it. I have to question Chad Morris's judgment when he chose to play Ben Hicks over Nick Starkel. Jeff, Ben Hicks is just absolutely horrible. I mean, it cost them.
You've been saying this.
It cost them a game.
You've been saying this before anyone else was saying this. Yeah.
And I just, that's an unforgivable mistake. You look at almost every single power metric ranking, Arkansas comes in.
Is this
in
true? If Arkansas and Arkansas State played each other, are you sure that Arkansas State would be favored?
According to metrics, Arkansas would be favored. Now, does that mean that Vegas would set the line there?
Arkansas would be favored.
I beg your pardon. Arkansas State would be favored. Yes, okay. And it would be a essential toss up. So we have to go a team that's 0-2.
And I feel good for the people for Arkansas State too.
A team that is 0-2 with an escape at home against Portland State, and then it really. At no point did I really think they had a chance to beat Ole Miss on Saturday. So they are at the bottom of our TAMS rankings, which brings us to Arkansas State. Good for them. They went to UNLV. It was a game that was essentially a pick 'em. I believe they were a 1-point favorite. They went to UNLV and absolutely waxed the Running Rebels. Took them down 43-17. Jeff?
That's impressive.
I asked the question. Yeah. Arkansas State a trap game for Georgia this week? Georgia, of course, has Notre Dame next week, 7 o'clock. Could the Red Wolves be a trap game?
Wait, no, Vandy has Georgia. Who is Arkansas State has?
I beg your pardon. So that's correct.
That's Colorado State. They got Colorado State.
No, no. Arkansas is Colorado State. The order okay, on okay. that's screwed up.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Fine.
Yes. But Arkansas State heads to Georgia, heads to Athens to take on the Bulldogs. They are a 33-point underdog this Saturday. Which brings us to Jeff, they're just inept on offense. The Vanderbilt Commodores are completely and utterly inept on offense. Their defense isn't bad, but they're just on the field so much because Vanderbilt, I can't determine if it's offensive line play or quarterback play that's really, really, really making them so inept. It could be a mixture of both. They actually have some pretty good skill position guys, but they're just, they're anemic. I mean, Purdue is not exactly a defensive stalwart in the Big Ten.
What's amazing is
they got waxed 42-24.
Is you have named four schools before Tennessee, and Tennessee is in full crisis meltdown. The Tams are really disappointing us and letting us down.
Yes. I mean, I think this speaks less to Tennessee and speaks more to the Tams as a whole.
Right. All right, so far, Liberty at the bottom, then Arkansas State, and then Vanderbilt. Next up, Tennessee's got UT Chat this week.
The Vols, after losing in overtime to BYU 29-26, they look to get their first win of the year against UT Chattanooga before they will proceed to lose the next four and be 1-6.
What do you make, by the way, of Tennessee? So it was at the luncheon where he gave his
Titanic speech, right?
He got a standing ovation when he walked in. Does that surprise you?
Not really, because that's going to be...
I mean, it's the rally. Well, there are two stages of this, right? There are different stages of embattled coach.
Yes.
Right? There's the rally around the embattled coach, and then there's the dead man walking.
Correct.
Just, like, feel bad for him. He looks, you know, it's like the man has a bad smell kind
yes.
of thing.
Like Brett Bielema that last year.
And so there's that part mm-hmm. And they're clearly at the, or at least this group, I don't think Tennessee fans generally, but this group was very clearly in the rally around the coach. We're the Vols, right?
Yes. And I would point out that the Georgia State loss was embarrassing, and then the way that they lost the BYU game was embarrassing, but they haven't had to go through watching their team get beat by, you know, 40 points against Alabama, Florida, Georgia.
Are they going to get obliterated by all those teams? Obliterated, or are they going to hang in?
Alabama will name its score. They could hang in with Georgia because they can actually run the football a little bit, and Georgia's defensive line is still not – they've not been, like, overwhelmingly good, in my opinion, from what I've seen thus far. And Georgia also kind of likes to control the football too, so it could be a game where you don't – where they don't get obliterated, but you never feel like Tennessee has a chance.
What's your personal right now at the top of the SEC ranking of teams in the top of the SEC based on what they've done so far this year?
Alabama, LSU, Georgia.
Georgia's clearly three. LSU is two.
In my opinion, yes.
LSU's not one?
No, I still think – I know it's fun to try to diminish what Alabama is, but I do think Alabama is still better on defense than LSU is. And I've noticed this weird trend where a lot of people don't want to say Tua's good. I'd still take Tua over Joe Burrow's, and Joe Burrow's has been
I brought this up yesterday. Mike Sadie is mad about the Dolphins tanking for Tua because he doesn't believe in Tua.
Correct.
Isn't Tua good?
Yes. I think Tua, if I were
an the argument has been big games, right?
Well, his
one big game.
He had one big game where
he
was
fell flat.
He was clearly injured. And then on top of that, I mean, I left that national championship game more impressed with Clemson's wide receivers than I was Trevor Lawrence. I thought Clemson's wide receivers were jaw-droppingly good. And they dominated the Alabama DBs. But there seems to be this movement of wanting to diminish how good Tua is. And it makes no sense to me.
Alabama won. LSU 2, Georgia 3. All right, continuing with our rankings. Tennessee, after Tennessee is whom?
After Tennessee getting their first win, and more importantly, their first SEC cover in the Matt Luke no longer being the interim coaching title. The Ole Miss Rebels come in at number three. They defeated Arkansas 31-17 at home. It was really 31, pretty much 31-10. They'll host Southeast Louisiana this week before getting a home date against Cal. Shout-outs to the SEC for giving Cal a 9 a.m. body time start.
So I saw Steve Earhart in the Liberty Bowl press box, and he was going to – he was at the Memphis game last week, and then he was going for the Memphis game to
Oxford
for Ole Miss Arkansas.
Yep.
And I said, I'm not sure either of those guys are going to be eligible for the Liberty Bowl. Are either of those teams going to be eligible for the Liberty Bowl? Can Ole Miss get to six?
I do not see how Ole Miss gets to six, because even if we give them – let's see. So they're at 1-1. You give them Southeastern Louisiana, you give them New Mexico State,
okay.
Then they have to beat Vandy. So
okay,
that puts
I can see this. This is four.
So that's at four. Uh-huh. And then they got to win two more, and I don't know where those two come from.
State?
If Tommy Stevens is healthy, I do not think they can beat Mississippi State, personally.
Who else they got?
State. They go to Missouri, and I think Missouri's...
possible. They'd have to they'd have to beat them both.
The Wyoming loss is somewhat flukish. If you look at the way that it was, what Missouri was last week was probably more representative of what they are. Like, I think Missouri's a good team.
Is there anyone else on that schedule?
I mean, do you think they can beat Texas A&M? Do you think they can beat Auburn? Do you think they can beat Alabama? Do you think they can beat LSU? I don't think they can beat any of them.
No, so they'd have to beat both Missouri and win the Egg Bowl.
Correct. That's their path to six.
But you don't think they're going to make a change either way?
I do not think at this point they will make a change.
Okay, that's Ole Miss. We go to the second from the top.
Jeff, the Memphis Tigers come in at number two in our TAMS power rankings. Of course, they defeated Southern over the weekend, 55-24. They head to Mobile to take on South Alabama this week, where they are currently a 19-point favorite. Of course, no Patrick Taylor this week. We get to see another decent test.
I think it's a decent test. They gave them and Nebraska's bad, but they still could have beat Nebraska.
They could have. I think that said
dominated
more about,
last week.
I think that was more telling about Nebraska than it was about South Alabama.
They also last year they had Memphis at the end of the fourth quarter. I think it was a competitive game, as I dimly recall.
It was.
So I don't think they're a bad team.
Go on the road. Your first real road experience.
It won't stun me if there's a huge like. They lost to Tulane last year.
Oh, yeah.
On the road, right?
Yeah.
They lost to Tulane on the road. Like
Friday night. Well aware. Still would have bet Memphis again.
That could be this. Like, I'm not thinking it's going to be this.
I don't think this South Alabama team is good enough. Like, I think Memphis is a pretty good matchup.
Here's the other thing.
I think South Alabama is a good matchup for Memphis.
Is Patrick Taylor is gone, and that's unfortunate for him and for the team. They're better with Patrick Taylor. But they're definitely better when Kenneth Gainwell gets a lot of carries. Like, he is a stud.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, at the end of the Ole Miss game when Patrick Taylor couldn't play and they gave it, like, it was Kenneth Gainwell.
Especially when you consider that the Ole Miss defense had been on the field and Gainwell has got a burst.
Well, I think they're better because they're better together, right?
Yeah,
they are better as a 1-2 punch than they are either one individually. But I'll tell you this, honestly, if I had to pick one of the two, might pick Kenneth Gainwell.
Are you saying for this year or for moving?
No, just generally. Even this year, like, who's the better back right now?
I'm still taking Patrick Taylor. It's really tough.
But the point is, they work best as a combination. Because
for sure.
You made the point,
like,
that
he wears you down.
That Patrick Taylor wears you down, and you put in Kenneth Gainwell, and he
he's got a burst, and then when you're gassed,
they work very well as a combination.
Yes.
There's no question that is true. Anyway. Then we have at the top of your TAMS rankings.
Yeah, Jeff, though they lost their starting quarterback in the first half, they still understood the most important aspect of a home opener is not that good teams win the game, it's that good teams cover the game. Mississippi State Bulldogs defeated Southern Miss 38-15. They will host Kansas State this weekend. Kansas State also coming in undefeated currently as well. Again, currently a 7.5-point line for the Bulldogs. Again, if Tommy Stevens is playing, I actually think this is a team that you can – I think this is a team that could give Auburn a good game. I think this is a team that I'm not
– I don't think we know how good Auburn is at all, do we?
Well, I think Auburn is limited because of Bo Nix.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's the problem. But we do know that Auburn has one consistent aspect, and that is
right,
their defense
front
is really
crazy
good.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced this Auburn team can run the football like a the best
Gus
Malzahn
teams can. And
what do we know
about Stevens?
He said he was good yesterday in media availability. It was a shoulder injury. It did seem, just based on watching the sideline, it seemed fairly precautionary. It's a shoulder. It's a shoulder and a quarterback. I guess that's pretty much the last thing I really want my quarterback to be struggling with. Like, I would rather, I honestly would rather, like with Tua when he had a sore knee, I'd rather have that than a shoulder.
All right. That's your TAMS rankings for the week. Remember, if you have any complaints, send them only to Jeffrey. I have nothing at all to do with the TAMS rankings. I do have something to do with Oak Hall, which is I wear their stuff now, and it has transformed my life. I said this the other day. I was getting lunch with Ben, son Ben, and he says, out of the blue, Dad, I like your pants. Never before has my 22-year-old son ever said he liked anything I've ever worn, ever. And all of a sudden, he's noticing my pants. And that's what can happen when you shop for quality clothing and when you, and this is the important part, listen to the suggestions of the people at Oak Hall. Because I was only wearing those pants. Pants don't jump sell themselves. I was only wearing those pants because it was suggested to me that, hey, you might want to try these pants. I wouldn't have bought them otherwise. But they're incredibly comfortable, unbelievably stylish. They make even me look good, such that my son is telling me he likes my pants. And it does not just apply to pants. It applies to sweaters, jackets, suits, ties. I have come to learn that quality clothing, it feels different and it looks different and you feel different in it. And it's why, no secret here, Oak Hall has been in business since 1859. Right now, it is brimming with new fall merchandise. Stop in and sharpen up your wardrobe. If they can make me look good, imagine what they can do for you. We're going to take a break. Come back. The one story you've been waiting for. It's Jeff Gawkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
A new era in Memphis basketball with Penny Hardaway.
University of Memphis.
The Grizzlies Western Conference Finals.
Believe Memphis, the Memphis Grizzlies are going to the Western Conference Finals.
Now ushering in a new era of youth and grind. Mike Norvell and Tiger football. The SEC and college football. Memphis 901 FC. The Redbirds. A World Golf Championship. Celebrating a decade as the number one voice in Memphis sports. This is Memphis's 92.9 FM ESPN.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want, and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 9/29/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Until she went to Triumph Bank the other day, Naya had never set foot in a bank. Naya just graduated from Freedom Prep. She's been a big part of the inner city rugby program. Naya started making a little money from her job at Girls Inc., but she didn't even have a checking account. And that's where Triumph Bank stepped in to help. They set Naya up with a checking account and her very first debit card. They showed Naya how easy it is to do their online banking with their mobile app. Not only that, the folks at Triumph decided to work with Inner City Rugby to teach more young people like Naya about financial literacy so they can feel more confident and can start to build brighter financial futures for themselves. Nia is the first of dozens in the program who will benefit from Triumph's personal touch. You can benefit too, of course. Triumph offers that same personal touch to everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Hey, babe, you know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
I'm going to help you today. I'm going to do that by telling you it's not too early to book parties for the holidays at Bounty on Broad. Don't put it off until the last minute when you'll be scrounging around just to find a place. Bounty is a beautiful space with incredible food and can accommodate parties from 10 to 200 people. And here's the other thing you should know about Bounty. One reason the food is so delicious is that it's locally sourced. Bounty gets cheeses from Bonnie Blue Farms, beef from Home Place Pastures, and fresh produce from Old World Farms and Hanna Farms. And the folks from Bounty asked me to mention those small farms specifically because they're serious about supporting local farms to create a sustainable food community. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. The website is bountyonbroad.com. Or just give them a call at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131. And book your holiday party before everybody else.
Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The Mid-South Fair at the Lander Center, September 19th through 29th. Visit midsouthfair.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So before I had a Triumph Bank as my bank, I had another bank as my bank. And I still have some stuff there because you make the transition over, right? And so what am I getting now? I'm getting emails from my other bank saying that it's changed and it's become another bank. And this is what happens when you have big-ass banks. All of a sudden, you're banking with another bank because it was consumed by another bank. Actually, my banker at Triumph, Holly Bronson, she had worked at another bank. And she just got sick of the way banks were gobbled up by other banks. And she was constantly, she'd worked for five different banks. They were constantly gobbling, and she wasn't able to, for her, banking is a personal service. It's not a commodity. And so when she had a chance to go to Triumph, she said, this is the way I like to be a banker. And they said, good, because that's the way we like bankers to be. And so she made the switch. And honestly, it's like Holly Bronson is the person who does it for me. But everyone does it that way at Triumph Bank. It's just a different kind of a deal. It's not been consumed by seven different banks, whatever else. It's a local bank with all the power to do everything you need that the biggest banks can do. Triumph is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
New class of New York City firefighters set to graduate this month. 13 of them. In the newest class of New York City firefighters, 13 of them are children of firefighters who lost their lives as a result of 9/11. They are called legacy graduates, and it is the most that they have ever had. The group includes two sets of siblings. One set is a brother and sister with two brothers who are already firefighters. The New York Post did a big story on them, and that's the kind of world, when you want comfort, that's the kind of world we live in. you can draw comfort from that. A couple other things to draw comfort from. One is Wendy's going to serve breakfast.
Oh, again?
You down with that? Again?
Yeah, so this used to be...
Again? Yeah. I missed the first roll up. They're rolling it, and it's been in a couple limited markets, but now they're having real breakfast everywhere, all across the country.
When we talked about whether or not some people out there today remember September 11th, I do not remember Wendy's breakfast, but its greatness was passed down to me from stories of my father.
He remembers Wendy's breakfast?
A traveling salesman himself. Does he remember anything himself. In particular? He just used to speak so highly of the biscuits. Like, I'm afraid of actually trying Wendy's breakfast.
Okay, well,
here's
what they're going to have. They're going to have a honey butter chicken biscuit.
Okay, sounds like Whataburger.
Thing. They're going to have a frosty chino.
Okay. That seems like a free space.
Frosty chino.
Yeah.
That's a coffee drink with a frosty base, obviously. And then they're going to have, in case you want to die young,
yes,
a breakfast Baconator.
Well, you need it. I mean, come on.
A breakfast Baconator. Also to
best
comfort
way to start
you.
Your day.
Also to comfort you in this time, and I knew this before any of the, I don't have to be told by this, a new study finds that people who have their dogs in their bedroom, either on the bed or on the ground, sleep better than other people. Because... it's comforting. It doesn't mean matter how big the dog is or how much it moved during the night. Researchers say most people assume having pets in the bedroom is a disruption. We found that people find comfort and a sense of security from sleeping with their pets. My dogs have just totally moved in. I have to wedge myself now.
Yes, that's the problem. I was going to say, did
my, I literally and wedge myself because I'll get up. Dogs know it's time to go to bed. Walk upstairs and I brush my teeth and whatever else. By the time I get to bed, they're already there.
Yeah.
And I have to literally wedge myself between the damn big dogs.
We know the move. I do not feel like this study accounts for humans that get to sleep inside their dog's beds. Because...
Excuse me?
Yes. Carly, my dog, allows me to sleep on
her bed. Right. Do you think you sleep better because Carly sleeps on your bed?
Well, it depends. Is she at the foot of the bed or has she decided
what
that tonight's the night where she's getting the whole bed?
Is it, if you sleep with another human being, does that person have the right to veto a dog on the bed during sleep?
In your home?
In your home.
No.
Because the dog was there first?
Yep.
What if the person finds it to be just unsanitary and grotesque?
Isn't that what they would call, Jeff, I believe, a red flag?
You think that's a red flag?
No. I know it's a red flag.
I have said before that if I well, whatever, we'll move on. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Former Tiger Sean Taggart will join them at 12:25. Also, Mark Giannotto at 11:25. Anthony Sane at 1:25. Today, we will have Bill Bender, Eric Edholm on Giannotto and Jeffrey. We'll be talking some college and pro football in the second hour. Ross Dellinger will join GP at 4:25, as will Jeff at 5 o'clock. Also, make sure you're listening at 6 o'clock for the 6, highlighting the best of 92.9 FM ESPN.
Have a good day, everybody. We got to get out of here. For now, our work's done.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
The third Memphis Food and Wine Festival is back again and set for Saturday, October 12th from 6 p.m. till 10 at the Memphis Botanic Gardens. Sip and sample from the best and enjoy live Memphis music. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.
Hey, listeners, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Once again, I'm here to welcome you to exceptional service. As you know, fall is upon us. It's fall, y'all. Football's in the air and the bugs are coming in. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. Let us help you with termites to ants and everything in between. Just give us a call or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Coming up Thursday, he's not on the Jets, the Giants, or the Cowboys. Is the actual best running back in the league playing on Thursday Night Football? Plus the latest on Antonio Brown. Thursday on Golic and Wingo.
Golic and Wingo. Weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on Memphis' sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN. Get it online at 92.9ESPN.com. Get us on Twitter at 92.9ESPN. Facebook.com/92.9ESPN.
Down home, nobody leaves the table hungry. Put food on your table tonight with Church's Real Big Family Deal. 12 pieces of chicken, legs and thighs in original or spicy, and two large sides for just $15. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Buckle up, taste buds. You're about to take an adventure of south of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishments. Celebrating 10 years in downtown Memphis in the main arts district, south of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the Mid-South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Happy hour featuring $2 off draft beer, wine, and specialty cocktail list, appetizers, and more. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to south of Beale. Get started at southofbeale.com.
Come right up close.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.